Before we go with our topic, let's bow heads and ask God to be in a special way with us. Heavenly Father, we are just about to open again the Holy Scripture, the Bible, and be with us, Lord, when we are going to study about the family. Lead our thoughts, how we can use the family in a way how you thought to be used, Lord, and may your Spirit be present today when we are studying that important subject. Be with us and bless us. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Okay, we are going to study about the beauty of the family, of the how our families can be more happier. If you live in a beautiful family, if you your family, you're enjoying the happiness of the family, I would like just to encourage you to continue that way. Or maybe some of the tips we are going to read from the Scripture can help you how you can enjoy more the family life which God put for us. I would like to start with the Genesis chapter 1. I think when God created Genesis 1:27-28, this is one of the beginning how God created the family. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. I'm reading from Genesis 1:27-28. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over every living thing that moves on the earth." As you can see, God, Creator God, He created man and woman, male and female. He blessed them, and that was the nucleus of the first family. Later on, the children came around. He put them in the very safe place, in the Garden of Eden. He prepared everything. That was the new brand house, brand new apartment, brand new space which God created for them. You know, our present, just maybe I can say, that's a statement from Ministry of Healing here. The family life, the family tie is the closest, the most tender and sacred of any on the earth. It was designed to be a blessing to mankind. You can see even the spirit of prophecy confirmed that the family tie, it's the closest, the most tender and sacred of any of the earth. We can have a church family, we can have all kind other groups or societies, but this unit, it's something special, designed by God for our sake, for the sake of those who are members of that unit, of the family, for the members of the family, to be happy, to enjoy the togetherness, fellowship, and also to give glory to God. Our present, past, and our future is very much connected with our family. It was designed by God to be a blessing to us. Family is where our identity and sense of self is formed. It is where we become who we are, as the values and choices and personalities expressed in our household shape us. More and more psychologists are coming to the revelation that what we are today, the way how we live, the way how we see things around us, are coming from the family roots. The way the family is when the values are shaped us. You know, the family is where we learn to win or to lose, where shamed or favored. The family is where we experience the greatest pain, ask the deepest questions about who we are, and make the most critical choices that not only shape our own character, but our family's character and culture as well. It is a place where we look for meaning, love, belonging, and enduring existence. We can't ignore or neglect the importance of the family. Even the people, atheists, outside of the Christian world are admitting the family is very crucial. Not just for those who are here at the moment, but for the future development of the children as well. How they can see, how they are creating their own families later on. Children are taking big percentage of the way how they are accepted, how they live, how they've been loved or unloved in the families when they leave. For that reason, family is important. Even we are living today in the world when the family is not appreciated the way how should be. We know from the Scripture that family has impact, positive or negative, in a way as well. But also, we have to say that in our time has brought up enormous changes in the life of the family, in our household. When I'm thinking the time when I was a child in my family and today, when I see the lives in the families, it's a big difference. Changes are everywhere present. I just want to mention some of the changes. The way we live have changed. In the past, people were living in the small communities. Today, you can see huge cities, 15 million people, or 18 in some part of the world. Imagine living there, you know, squeezed in those big buildings, in the very small squares, when the children, they don't have a space to move. They don't have space to run. You know, a few months ago, there was one article which I read. What is happening with Australian backyards? Disappearing. Because of the greed of development, the developer, they are making smaller and smaller blocks, putting more people and selling, you know, getting more money. What's happening with our backyards? Not any more big backyard unless you move to country and have a big backyard, you know, and farm. But in the city, it's disappearing. The way we live has changed. The family starts shaping differently. We become more busy, spending less time at home. Do you agree with that statement? In general, yes, we become more busier than ever before. We are spending less and less time at home. Says in Australia, the average person per house. People don't have a time to come and having meals together. 31% of the American family members have one meal per day together as a family. Because people are working, we have to leave early morning. In the case of Melbourne or other, you need at least 1 hour or two to reach your working place, and another 2 hours coming back. It's the best of the time it's taking for the work, and you know, because they're spending less time at home. Many children are lucky to see mom and dad during the week. And how we are communicating with them, you know, with the labels, putting on the fridge. When you wake up, you know, put them in microwave, your bag is there, or take the money is there. That's how we're communicating. Less and less, unfortunately, today, changes. The home has lost its warmth and hospitality. Because we don't have much presence, we are not fellowshipping much as in the past, and lost the warmth, and the children most of the time are left by themselves. Even the government disagrees with that, but unfortunately that's a reality. The children become, in some families, become more burden, not a joy for many families. I just read this week when in Victoria said more young couple are thinking more about having a home than a children. And they are putting their children for the later age because they can't afford. You can see that the whole situation made changes in the family structure. It's not how it used to be in the past. And more adult people are like having establishing families. I think the average about 30, 31. They started with the first kid. When was the first child? When was in the past, maybe when they were 19 or 20 years old, they already had one or two child in the past. In my time was, you know. When I was studying theology, a principal, he said, boys, when they reach 21, they can think about marriage. The girls, when they reach 18, they can think about family, you know. But today, even they are 30, our son is 33, they don't have children still. You can see how they're putting later and later because of the circumstances of life, expenses, costs, and many things. The home has lost its warmth and hospitality. Many homes are not anymore open for the visitors. Less and less people are coming for the lunch or to stay because it's costly for some families, and people are, you know, it's too much energy because they are too busy to accommodate guests anymore. I'm just noticing or presenting some of the facts which change the life of the families today. and slowly taking part of the beauty of the home. Lost less time for communication, as I mentioned, as well. Also, the role of just maybe to say that the size of the families have changed. When I grew up as a child in my home, we were about 14 people living in one home. In Australia, the average person per household is 3 persons today. The size of the family shrink as well, and many things has happening. Also, the role of the husband and wife in the home have changed. In my time, you know, was different. I don't know, Paul, in your time, what was the role of the husband and what? But today, that there is no specific roles anymore. Everybody, very often, the woman is working outside, the husband is cooking or doing the dishes and many things. You know, it's everything changed. It's, in some cultures, that's a confusing time. Yes. Yeah, it's okay. You're good. Doing as well. Okay, you can do. I'm not saying what is wrong is right. Because what was in the past was always right. Not today, everything what it changed is everything wrong. But just noticing the changes. The family life change. The size of the family change. One teenage girl, she said, why I need a home anymore? I was born in the hospital, educated in the college, married in the car, fed by food from tins and bags. The morning hours I have spent in the golf clubs, afternoons in billiard saloons, and evenings watching movies. When I die, they will bury me in the cemetery, and everything what I really need today is garage. Many young people are thinking similar. You know, the family, it's lost the meaning for them. They are having their breakfast in the McDonald's. I don't know when they have a dinner in Kentucky or Hungry Jack's or whatever. That's how many young people are living today. Home, it's not any more importance. And many other reasons as well. And that girl, if she establishes her home, what her will be her view of the home? You know? How, when she bring children, what kind of generation will come? It's obvious that the family today is going through difficult time. When I live in Vulnerable, behind me in the western side, are built many new homes. As I'm watching them, I'm asking the one question myself. In how many of the new houses will live happy family? Because for an ordinary house to become a happy home, it is not good enough to have good location, contemporary design, expensive furniture, but need a lot of forgiveness, love, understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. Ordinary house to become a loving home needs more than good location, expensive furniture. And Book of Proverbs, chapter 24, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. There is a qualities which we can't buy them, we can't pass them to others, something we can reach in connection with the Lord. True wisdom is a house built. Not just master builder. We have to be connected with a real master builder in order the family, the house to become a family according to God's will. And by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall be chambers filled with the precious and pleasant riches. How to transform an ordinary house into a home? I'm not going to give you all the answers. You have to search for many of them. The Bible is there, Spirit of Prophecy, and many other good books. But I'm just will give you a few tips today how our houses, how homes can be transformed into loving home. Home we can enjoy when the children can enjoy the fellowship of the mom and dad or those who are around, grandfather or grandmother, uncle or whoever is member of your family, how they can grew in understanding the, how they can accept the values and can pass on their generation when they become adults as well. Happy living comes by following God's guidelines revealed in His Scripture. Nothing happened by accident. Even the loving family home doesn't happen overnight. By accident, needs guidance to be followed by the Word of God. Okay, one of the foundation for the happy family, for the beauty of the family, is to have to be built on love, genuine love, not the love which you can hear in this world. Very often, it's based on the appearance love, which it's more like a lust. But on genuine love, which Apostle Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I think you're familiar with that verse, but let's go once more. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 to 8. says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a changing cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I have my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not pride itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks not evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never falls," according to the Bible. Love never falls. This is something which the Bible speaks, how love is important. Love which is shared unconditionally and unselfishness between family members makes the home to be attractive for the family members. Somebody says, love is like perfume. It makes the atmosphere in the home relaxing, pleasant and welcoming. Love has to be seen, has to be touchable. Love without judging, unconditionally, doesn't matter if you are small, fat, tall, or doesn't matter. Love, unconditional love, is very important, very important. Mother Teresa says, more people are dying for love than for bread in the world. There is love, it will be never enough, because it's more and more people hungry and thirsty for real love, even in their own homes. The biggest need of human heart is to be loved. To earn it, we are ready to climb mountains, to walk through the desert, to swim the oceans. I remember when I fell in love, it was winter Europe time. In Croatia, it was freezing, rain, cold, temperature, minus 25, but not stopping me to see my darling. When you're in love, nobody cares about, there is no circumstances that can stop you. Even you don't have a money, you can try all kinds of things to get there, to meet the appointment. You know, love. That's the greatest emotion, the greatest motivation in the world. It's love. That love has to be seen in the families. If we want to have a happy family life, if we want our children to grow healthy in that emotionally, that love has to be seen. Not to be just spoken verbally. That love has to be seen. Love has to be seen, have to be touchable. Love without judging. Doesn't matter, not all children the same, not we all the same. Sometimes we are our shape is changed during the life, but love has to be still present there. My wife, she said, if I fell in love because of your dark hair when you were young, what will happen today? Her love has to decrease, because you can see I don't have any more black hair. It I used to have, very curly, black mustache. I think 10 years ago I took them off. And the children tried to encourage me to color my hair. I said, if I try to do, I have to continue. Because, you know, you can't hide too long. That's what how you see me originally, you know. I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes many people, they fell in love for certain visual things, but if their love is not unconditional, it's not love, you're accepting person as it is, then when the change comes in the life, they start twisting things and they are, you know, putting each other away from their life. For that, in love, it's very important. Also, every member of the family has his own language of love. Every member of the family has a duty to find the key of other person in order to know how to express his love to other. Sometimes we think, you know, what make me happy makes other person happy, but not the way. We have to find what other person, my wife and myself, we got two children, our son and our daughter, from the same parents, but we have to learn to express our love in different way, because, you know, they are different. They are seeing things differently. Love have to be, all people got different needs, expectations, and interests. For that reason, genuine love is very important. Practical suggestion how that love have to be expressed and seen, affirmed. When was the last time when you affirm, appreciate your child, your husband, your wife, or other member of the family? Sometimes we have so high expectations that we always noticing what will be next step, how we can earn more, how we think and move, how we can put, how we can expect a little bit more from our child, not affirming the achievement what they have in their life. Mark Twain once said, "I can live 2 months on one good compliment." Nobody is so bad that doesn't have something good. Good compliment has a power to motivate people to achieve great things. I heard some of the parents saying always to their children, who some of them were a little bit maybe disobedient, nothing is going to be with you. You know, look at your friend, look at that child, you know, look at him. You are nobody, nothing from you. If you put that kind of things every day in your family, in your home, to the child of the mind, and of course he's not going to succeed. When he reached that age to make decisions, he said, I'm nobody, I can't do this. Everybody can do it. It's not possible. And they are putting the target very low, and they are achieving the low targets as well. For that reason, affirm. Find something good in your partner, in your husband, wife, child, or whoever member of the family, and affirm. We have to practice more and more in giving compliments to others. The statistics show us that only 20% of the family members are giving compliments to others. Only 20%. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will earn its fruit." Our words has a power. If you're sharing compliments, affirming others with verbally, will bring good fruit for yourself and for the children. They will inspire to go further, to try new things. They will inspire to create a vision and not to look at the obstacles, to the advantages. Another text says in Proverbs 12:25, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." Good word, affirming, positive thought, positive word, compliment, feel, make you good, feel, you know, like flying during the day. That's very important. Verbal compliments or words of appreciation are powerful communicators of love. Love has to be expressed. Love has to be heard. We as husbands, we have to say very often to our wives, "I love you." We have to remind them one husband, she said, what I have to say? I said to her 40 years ago that I like her, you know, at the altar. That was enough. If she said, if something changes, I'll let you know. This is not good enough, you know. But sometimes we are behaving like that. I'll let you know if something changes. Not good enough. We have to be. God created us as in that way. We need to be reminded that we belong to each other. Compliments. Unfortunately, some members of the family has never heard any word of appreciation for whole life, and they work as a slave. I grew up in the culture when giving a compliment was a weakness. Especially the husband, the male person, to give a compliment to the child or to his wife. That was taken as a sign of weakness of the male. And I know how many wives that work as a slaves, washing, digging, cooking, raising the children everywhere, and they never heard for the whole life a word of compliment. And they died hungry and thirsty for appreciation. This is not good. Some cultures are still around this world like that. For that reason, affirm. Don't be stingy in giving appreciation. Say thank you. You know, you look beautiful this morning. Look at, you know. Find something. The meal what you cooked, it's excellent. Wow. The way how you've done the ceiling or painting or something, repairing the house was beautiful. You know, appreciate things, and they'll give more courage. Okay, count the blessings. The members of the family, count the blessings. God bless you with your child. Even maybe it's not perfect like the neighbor's one. Count the blessings. God gave you the healthy child. You know, it can achieve maybe, it's not going to be maybe one day the lawyer or whatever, some high professional, but there is so many occupations they can choose, you know. Count the blessings. And tell them that they are blessing in your life. Love doesn't keep score of wrongs. Love doesn't bring up past failures. Love, when it forgets. None of us is perfect. We cannot erase the past. We can ask for forgiveness and try to act differently in the future. Even Apostle Paul, we studied a few weeks ago, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, when he's writing to the believers in Thessalonica, even they are not perfect, but he's affirming them, you know. Wow, he said, I am always praising you before my Lord for your goodness, for your faithfulness. Even we know that they have a trouble as well, but he finds a good things to uplift their spirits and to bring them before God, and that was positive for him and positive for them as well. Count the blessings. Another count, having a quality time together, very important in order to have that happy family life. By quality time, I mean giving your individual attention. We have to discipline ourselves in that area. By having time for our family members, you are showing to them that they are important to you. When you have something to share, switch off the TV, computer, or radio. Focus, you know, focus to each other. Don't go to the newspapers and talking to your or to women's magazine or whatever, doing other stuff and talking to other, that you are divided attention. You know, focus. Have a quality time together, especially those who are so often apart because of the work assignment, have to travel, have to go distance, you know. Special that if it's a half an hour, 1 hour, may have a quality time together. I have to say that many of us are trained to analyze problems and create solutions. We forgot that marriage is a relationship, not a project to be completed or a problem to solve. Sometimes we are jumping straight away to solve, but we need to listen. Some of us have a problem with the listening. To be listened sometimes can be a way of communication. Okay, having healthy communication, it's the next stage as well. It's every family, every member of the family, including the children, has to feel free to express what he or she thinks. having healthy communication means not to one person to dominate, to make all decisions for the whole family. Every family member to feel comfortable to share the opinions. Every member of the family have to express their feelings and emotions without fear of punishment or humiliation. When we have that healthy communication, that means woman or husband or child can have things, even can admit the failure without punishment, without humiliate. I knew that you would do this wrong or something like that, or putting other opinions down and discouraging that person next time to have say. You know, and slowly one person is withdrawing totally and one person starts dominating. Not the other person doesn't have to say because it's scared to say. Because it's always, it seems that she's or he is stirring problems in the house. We have to create, as a family, a healthy atmosphere when everybody can have a freedom to express opinion without humiliating the opinion, without punishing. That can lift the burden of the person and can have a freedom to say. The punishment can be physically or mentally, even verbally. Sometimes, you know, punishment is mental or verbally punishment. When you're calling all the names or all kind of things, which is you're punishing the person and putting the person down. The home belongs equally to all family members. Maybe some of you will disagree. Everybody have a reason to disagree if you want. But I find that home belongs equally to all family members. All family members have to have an ownership of the home. Whenever one starts to dominate, that is creating the problems. Some people have to withdraw to give a space and losing the balance. And some people can go then in disappointments, even in many other things. We are all different. We see things differently. We express our feelings differently. It's totally normal and we have to accept this. It's normal that family can have a different opinion, but we have to find a way how we can unite opinions and we can make deal. Okay, next in January we have to go on a holiday. Where we are going to holiday? Let's sit around the family table. Let's discuss options. Okay? I always try to invite my children as well. Sit around the table. We have a holiday 2 weeks in January. Where do you want to go? They would like to go. Who knows where? But okay. As a husband and wife, we got financial situation. We have to explain to see the possibilities. How much will cost? How much we have to be away? How much time we have left over from the last holiday or something like that? We have to work together and we have to come to the conclusion and nobody to be called to comply later on, you know? That's the way how we can sort things even in other issues in the family. And the family will become slowly united and they will fight for each other. Healthy, having family communication. But one problem very often happens in the family, that's when many homes there is a power struggle. Power struggle. Who is the boss? He said, who wears the pants? Husband or the wife? And very often that power struggle brings problems in the family. You know, that power struggle is present even in the world, in the animal world as well. Who is going to dominate the field? Which rooster? Who is the boss of the chicken farm? Or something like that. You know, the power struggle even splits the heaven. Do you know that? Create two groups or two camps. The power struggle even divides Christianity in the world. You know, in 1054, the Christian was divided between Western Christian and the Eastern, and the Orthodox and the Catholics. The power struggle dividing churches today, dividing families, dividing even the governments or the, you know. For that reason, we have to be very careful. Power struggle can enter into the family, can bring very disaster. Power struggle between mom and dads as well will bring struggle. I have in mind like a problem with Isaac and Rebecca, you know, Jacob and Esau. There was a power struggle, if you read some commentaries, between Isaac and Rebecca. And that power struggle split the family into two camps and destroyed the family unity. And one author, he said, when one parent undermines the integrity, respect, position or authority of the other in the eyes of their children, or encourages a young person to do things that undermine his or her own respect and obedience for that other parent, it is not only affects that young person's respect for the parent, but unwittingly for the first parent as well. Whenever that trouble comes, the problem starts there. For that reason, the Bible says, submit to one another, Ephesians 5:21. Husband and wife, or children, we have to submit to each other to find a common ground and to work together to keep the harmony, the balance, the unity, the love of the family. Having healthy communication, love makes requests, not demands. That's how love works. We communicated 7% by our words, by our words, 38% by the way how we speak, and 55% by our touch. It's not only what we say, but how we say. And sometimes we express, not just with the words, but what is it, hugging, touching, holding hands. It's an amazing way how we express our love to each other, and especially to our children as well. I can speak so much just about that item, because I recently read a book, the children who grew up in the family, the babies, like who were, very often touched by the moms, they were more healthier, and they were more resistant to certain diseases than other children who were left without touching. Touching have a health benefit, an emotional benefit to the child, a mental and a spiritual, but not just for the child as well. People who are in the marriage, I think that bring blessings as well. Communication is two-way street. When we talk about communication is not just one person to talk, but to give opportunity to other person to talk or to listen as well. I'm just going to the conclusion of this topic this morning. It's in Psalm 127:1-5. The Bible says, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain and build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waked but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Lord, children are on heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." You know, we can wake up in the morning, go a distance toward the money, we can bring them, we can choose the beautiful location of the house, we can put, we can design the best way, we can put nice furniture, but it's not going to transform that house into a home. We need God to be a center. We need His presence every day. And when we see, when we see our children as a blessing of God, then we can have like this prerequisition for the family, long family, happy life on this earth. What is the purpose of my family? Have you asked that question? What is the purpose of your family? Where are we heading together as a family? What are our priorities as a family? I think God has put us in those families with a reason. And if we pray, God will give us, He will give us the purpose of our family. He will give us a right destination, what we want to achieve. And He will help us to make the right priorities for our family. Just the last statement, we can leave to our children financial assets, but those can lose their values. A family business can go bankrupt. A family home can burn down. But if we can make clear to our children who we are, where we come from, and what we value, then they can begin to build their own personal identity based on a solid foundation. Money are necessary, but sooner or later they will go. You can buy to your kids the most expensive sports car, but just behind the corner they can hit and make accident and will go. You can put, you know, on their bank account a lot of money there, but inflation will come or whatever, or something, you know, problem, the value will disappear. If you buy a nice house in the most expensive area, maybe the prices of the houses will drop overnight and next day have half of value. I'm not saying not giving those things, but keep in mind something the most important. It's giving them identity, create with God's help what is the internal values, and they will never lose the values. May God help us. Help us, our homes, because we are living in challenging time. May we not forget who we are, why we are on this earth, and what God wants to achieve through us today. We would like to finish with a song, 652. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our Heavenly Father. We thank you for the privilege to be called the children of God as well. Lord, thank you for reminding us how important the family unit on this earth. You created, Lord, you established for the goodness of the people, special in order to our children to grow up in the very present atmosphere. Lord, help us these days because the families are going through challenging time today, and so many challenges are facing every family. And please not forget the plan which you had when you established the family, and to continue to follow your footsteps, Lord, and to your guidelines which you gave us in the Bible in order to experience the happiness in our families. Bless the children, bless mom and dad, bless every member of the family. May be always welcome, and may everybody to have a freedom to contribute to the happiness of the family. Also, Lord, for some of us, maybe we are growing by ourselves, maybe we are single, Lord, but may we are waiting for the day when we are going to be in the all families together in the kingdom, when we will be under your umbrella, Lord, and you will guide us and lead us to the eternity. And please encourage us to be faithful to you, and may be ready for your coming for that day. In Jesus' name I pray all these things. Amen.